Hello people and welcome to the Outbounds YouTube channel. It looks like we've got a full house today. I am joined with obviously regulars and we've got a special guest, Abdus. Just quick side note, after this season, Harden's no more in the intro after the stinker he just performed. So we're going to keep him for the rest of the playoffs and then we're kicking him off the intro after. I'm going to have to think of something else to fill in. But as I said, we've got a full house. We've got the regulars, Abbas, Kojo and Sam, and then we've got a special returning guest, Abdus. How you doing?
Doing good, man. Doing all right. Just recovering from yesterday, but we'll probably get into that. But yeah, good to be back, man.
Yeah. Obviously, just tell the people what team you support.
I'm a morning Sixers fan right now. We just got beat down in Game 7. And Jason Tatum dropped a 50-piece on Embiid's head top, but I've seen it all before, so... It is what it is, man. At this point.
All right, so let's get into that series. Obviously, as we all know, Sixers fumbled the series. I mean, they were up 3-2, and in perfect Doc Rivers fashion, because he's known for blowing games that he's up by at least three games or two games, 3-2, whatever. And they've lost the series. And it wasn't they just lost the series. It was in the fashion that they lost the series in, with getting blown out in the third quarter. And then it looks like they just gave up. Obviously, Abbas, it can't even be a Doc Rivers hater. It's just who Doc Rivers is. But as you said, Doc Rivers' legacy was on the line this playoffs. I'll let you go first. Who's more to blame for the Sixers' downfall?
Do you know what? This is what I'll say. So, Doc Rivers can't get rid of Doc Rivering. That's what we're calling it. When you blow these type of leads, you're calling it Doc Rivering at this particular point. But I think you have to look at... There's 2 points. You've got to look at yesterday's third quarter and the fact that I feel like the team kind of just gave up. And that was one thing I said. And then you've got to look at the fourth quarter and then final minutes where you allow Boston in Philly, Philly's meant to be this crowd where the fans get at you and you make it very hard for the opposition team to basically play against. And in the fourth quarter, in the clutch, in a very close game, you allow Boston to pull away. And then basically, again, like I said, you kind of give up. A lot of people are going to blame it on James Harden, and you can do because he did stink it up again. But I do look at Doc Rivers and I'm looking at the third quarter yesterday. I'm looking at, when did you decide to call that timeout? How are you allowing Boston to basically run away, get 20 points and decide, you know what, now I want to call a timeout? There's so many decisions in that entire game where I look at it, I'm like, what are you doing? And you have to put the blame on the coach. One thing I'm not doing is putting the blame on Joel Embiid like this. This was a guy that came into the league where he couldn't play back-to-back games and the Sixers had a fear that, is he ever going to get to that particular period where this is a correct draft pick? And if you look, he's now a guy that basically is the franchise to a point. So I'm not going to blame Joel Embiid. I know a lot of discussion have been about the MVP, but we can talk about how Jokic elevated himself, whereas for me, I think Embiid was just happy to get that MVP. And he did, for me, deserve it. But yeah, I have to look at Doc Rivers. I'm just... There's not too much for me to say, except for the fact that this is a peak Doc Rivers series. James Harden, it's hard for me to now look at him as that particular guy where you can turn to, even though, again, he has some amazing gears. He had a 40-piece and everyone was like, yo, James Harden is back, not in James Harden's name, etc., etc. But unfortunately, the blame goes on Doc Rivers again, and I don't know where you go with this. I don't know where you put Doc Rivers now in terms of coaching.
Yeah.
This entire thing, I'm sorry for Philly, you might need to blow it up.
So I just want to come back. So obviously we'll come back to Doc Rivers, but I want to go to Abdus here because Abbas said something about how you can't put this blame on Joel Embiid, and you kind of agreed. Obviously he's MVP and whatever, but if you just look at the numbers, it's one of the biggest playoff drop-offs that we've seen when you talk about regular seasons of playoffs. And also, this is a guy that has never been to the conference finals before. I mean, you saw he lost the series to like Celtics a few years back. They've lost series to Miami. They've lost to Atlanta. They've lost to Toronto as well. I mean, he's lost 5 times in the conference final with different teammates. And I truly believe Ben Simmons kind of gave Joel Embiid some saving grace just because of the amount of the failures that he had in the Hawks series when he passed the ball. It clouded that Joel Embiid had 8 turnovers in that game 7 as well. So if Embiid keeps having these failures after failures after failures, and I'll come to you, Abdus, why do you feel like we can't blame Embiid when he seems to be a common denominator?
First of all, I disagree with Abbas. I blame majority of the blame on Joel Embiid.
Okay,
and I don't put as much of the blame on Doc Rivers, because I think this Doc Rivers narrative is kind of lazy, because Doc Rivers cannot go out there and physically shoot the ball. He cannot go out there and physically make the guys perform better and stop that body language and actually play like they actually want to win this series. So most of the blame for me goes on Joel Embiid. Obviously, Harden, we know in the playoffs, he does tend to shy away from the big moments and things like that. But James Harden, game one, he put up 45 and won you a game. He put up 42 and won you game four. He's won you two games. Now it's on the MVP to step up to the plate and make sure he seals the deal game six at home. And he struggled to do that. He failed to do that. And we've seen this again and again and again, year after year after year. It's always something with Joel Embiid. From 2019 Raptors series when he had gastric issues to issues last year when he had a broken face and a broken finger. And it's always something new. This year, it's the knee brace against the Hawks in that series. They lost in game seven. It's a torn meniscus in his left knee. And I can't lie. I'm running out of excuses and I can't defend this guy anymore. I cannot defend this because that attitude throughout that series is unacceptable. And every time in these post-game interviews, you hear the players talk about it's lack of effort, lack of heart, lack of mental and physical toughness. When are you going to toughen up, my guy? You're 29, you're pushing 30, and all your age mates either have chips, rings, finals, MVPs, conference finals appearance, and you're sitting there with nothing. You just have an MVP to your name.
See,
that a lot of people think you earned because you was crying. Quarter, man. I got three jerseys and B jerseys.
Oh, so
I can't defend this guy no more. It's a pathetic way to go out. 15 points in a game session. I can't defend that, man. I can't defend that. So obviously it's still fresh in my mind, but the way it's looking right now, they gotta blow it up, man. They gotta blow it up because there's no way this roster is a championship level roster. There's no way this team can compete for a championship. That's the way I see it now. So in my eyes, just blow it up. Harden, don't even think about accepting your player option. Tobias Harris, you've got a year left on your deal. We'll ship you to OKC or wherever you want to go. And then Embiid, I know your supermax kicks in next year, but you got to look in the mirror, my guy. You got to look in the mirror. And
I'll have a speaker response.
So this is what I say. So do you know, like when they talk about teams, it isn't an element of the team characteristics of the coach. When we look at Doc Rivers, what's the one thing we always say? Like you said it literally from the bat, he chokes a lot of leads. And that's what we look when we look at CP3, for example, when it was with Doc Rivers, there's characteristics of him choking. It comes innate from the coach yourself. That's why there's only so much passage you can give this coach. Now, with Joel Embiid, don't get me wrong, I'm not sitting here saying that he can't get some of the win. What I'm saying is from where Joel Embiid, and again, it's just Joel Embiid on as a singular rather than a team, from where he was to where he's come from. That in itself, to a point, is a victory, because this guy, like you will say yourself, he's you've listed off so many injuries that this guy has had. The fact that we were worried that he couldn't even play back-to-back games. And yes, you can say trust the process, etc. You can say whatever you want, but this is a guy that's now completed his journey to a point where he's won the MVP. And so that's why, like, there's only, I can give him a level of a pass. What I can't do is say next year we come round and it's a similar thing. And where people have questioned Mark your MVP and now you meant to go out and show out the same way Jokic did, which you can touch on. That's where I can't give Embiid the pass. For now, I can do because he's completed what his objective was for me personally in the regular season to win the MVP. Whereas Doc Rivers, what narrative was on you, it's still on you. And that's why I look at Doc a little bit more than and say that's why the blame's on him. But
you know what? I'm going to come to Kodra here because I even saw the way he was on Twitter. He was talking about, he was pumped up for the Sixers, talking about let's go Sixers and all that kind of stuff. And then he ended it now with this is embarrassing and all those kind of tweets. Whose side are you on? Are you on the Bass side that is more on Doc Rivers or are you on Abdul's side that is Embiid? Can't hear you. Yeah. I can't hear you. It's only me.
No, everyone can't hear him.
No, he's muted. Yeah.
Are you muted? Thing.
No, you mean? Yeah, I don't think his mic's working.
Yeah,
I don't think your mic's working. While he's sorting that out, we'll come to you, Sam. Whose side are you on? Are you with the? It's more like Embiid and the players, or do you feel like it's more?
Do you know what? It's a 50-50 thing, because, like Ab said, yeah, saying the Doc Rivers thing is a lazy narrative, because, like, end of the day, yes, we know, okay, cool, Doc has had his issues, but the Sixers have had their issues before they had Doc. When they had Brett Brown, it was still the same situation, innit? So, and it was the same player.
Exactly.
And when you look at it, you got to look at the Sixers team, that maybe the team just isn't good enough. Like, maybe Joel Embiid can't be your number one player. Like, maybe you have to have a situation where it's a Shaq and Kobe, when you got Embiid and someone like Dame Lillard that can be the closer. Because, like, yesterday, there was no heart there, innit? I was watching the game, and when I clocked in, it was close, like 15 points. And I was watching for 5 minutes. It got up to like 28. I was thinking, this game's done. And I just saw Embiid just jacking up threes, thinking like, bro, that's not how you get back into the game, by just jacking up threes. You got to get the easy points and then obviously play on defense, innit? So I don't want to just blame Doc Rivers, because that's the easy thing to say. Do you know what I mean? In terms of the Sixers, when you deep it, what is there really to blow up? Because Harden's not going to opt in. He wants to go back to Houston. He's missing the strip clubs. What's it called? Tobias Harris. No one's interested in him like that. And all you've got is Joel Embiid, and no one is really going to actually trade for him, innit? Because he's got his injury situations, and maybe you just don't want to build a team around him. You've seen what he's done in Philly, and it hasn't worked out. So it would have to be 50-50. But if I was to give the onus of the blame, I'd say the players, bro, because like Ab said, it's not Doc Rivers that's playing on the court. It's the players. So if Joel Embiid is that leader, or Harden's that leader, he would tell these guys, step up. Like, yes, you've got Maxey, who's young, but Tobias Harris, you can talk to him. He's a veteran player. Like, Embiid should have set an example and said, this is what we need to do. Yes, we're losing, but not get mollywopped and lose by 30. And then you let JT hit a, 50 piece. It was embarrassing. Do you know,
Just playing Dev Advocate a bit, because obviously I can see you guys obviously say not Doc Rivers, and we're going to come to James Harden and be deep in a bit. But my thing with the whole Doc Rivers thing is, correct me if I'm wrong, this guy has not made a conference final since he left the Boston Celtics. He had the Lob City Clippers. They blew so many leads, whereas in they had chance to get to conference finals. In fact, when the Clippers reached the conference finals when Kawhi was injured, and it was just Paul George, when they didn't have Doc Rivers. He goes to Philly. You saw what happened last year against the Heat? Whereas in a lot of people said that the Sixers were favorites going into that series. And then you see what happened last night as well. Now, obviously, I think James Harden's a disgrace, and I think Embiid's a disgrace as well with the way they played in the first half. But if I'm just going to talk about just that Game 7, the reason I'm playing with Doc Rivers for just that Game 7 is because of what Abbas said, the timeout situation. How can you watch a team go on like a 20-something point run and you don't call one timeout to make an adjustment?
Bro, when you got leaders in your team, you don't wait for the coach to call a timeout. You don't wait for a coach to call a timeout. If you see you call a timeout yourself. We saw, we've seen this transpire with James Harden before when Doc Rivers wasn't his coach. So it's just they just got a bozo gene. That's all it is. And at the end of the day, you got to have a coach on the court, whether that's your point guard and that's James Harden, or whether that's your leader and your big and your center and your supposed superstar, that's Joel Embiid. You can't, like, I can't coddle you. You're grown men. I can't run everything for you. I can't say, oh, this is the plays we need to run. Sometimes use your initiative. That's why I like Steve Kerr. Sometimes say, you know what? I'm not helping you guys. You guys coach the games yourself, innit? And then figure shit out, because I can't keep on babying you. Simple.
So I hear it. So I'm okay with saying that these guys aren't leaders. I've got no problem with going out and saying that these guys may not necessarily be leaders like we think they are. So if they're not, and you know the characteristics of these players, because you know them in and out better than everybody else, why are you not taking the initiative as the coach? The reason you are paid is to coach. You are not paid to sit on the side with a little clipboard and just wait until somebody else calls the timeout and be like, right, okay, cool. Right, I guess a rookie coach, let me just draw something up now. You are paid also to take the initiative and call a timeout when you know that, okay, this is getting out of hand in Boston, game seven. I need to do something now and do it. And you can't just sit on the sidelines and be like, right, I'm just going to let my players figure it out for themselves.
No, I want to let Kodra get in. I want to let Kodra get in quickly.
Yeah, let me finish what I was saying before the technical difficulties came in. So, yeah, I agree with Abdus on, you know, the blame should be more on Joel Embiid and James Harden. I hear what Bass is saying. Yes, I do agree that Doc Rivers is an embarrassing coach. He has a terrible record when it comes to game sevens. We acknowledge that. But the matter of the fact is, this 76 team is not that good. Do you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. It's not that good. For me, I was surprised they even got to a game seven. Because I thought this should be done in six. That's how surprised I was that the 76 pushed this to game seven. Now, if you look at game six, they bottled a lead at home. You're up by 12 at high, and you lose by 15 at home. You allow Jason Tate to get 16 points. For me, it just shows you right there, this 76 team is not good. It's just not that good for me. You can't blame Doc. We know Doc, yes, he's not a great at handling these situations. But at the same time, you've got to look at Joel Embiid, right? Just 5 times you've been knocked on the conference semifinals. Toronto, I think Kawhi had a game shot winning over him, right? Atlanta, yep. You had last year against the Heat. There's no excuse for this. You've played 65 games the last 2 seasons in the regular season or more. You got to the postseason. You know what to do. You're a professional player. James Harden is a disgrace as well. Cool, yes, game one, he had an amazing game, 45 points. But it's game one. You have to be consistent throughout the whole series. It's a 7-game series. You have 2 good games in a 7-game series. It's not good enough. It's not good enough. He was 4-11 yesterday in the game seven. It's a joke. It's a joke. I agree what Abdus was saying, and I agree what Sam was saying. Yeah. Sometimes the players got to take their own initiative. You're grown men. You're getting paid serious money. You go through college to play basketball. Doc Rivers just hasn't taken some bait, but for me, this is more high on Joel Embiid and James Harden. And I agree, for me, this can't work going forward. This Sixers team, as it's currently constructed, just can't work. James Harden's probably going to leave to go back to Houston, which for me, that shows everything about him personally as a player. Because you're not going to win anything in Houston with this young core. Not anytime soon. Joel Embiid, for me, needs more help. I agree with what he said. You can't do it all alone. Tobias Harris, for me, I don't know. For me, I think he's given the best he can for me personally. Tyrese Maxey.
The thing is, I'm just going to agree where you're coming from. And I think, especially when you're talking about the playoffs, because I think I've heard a lot of you guys talk about how Embiid is this and that. But I also feel like, in fact, the worst player on the court was James Harden. And I remember when we used to have the debates about with Giannis and AD and what, blah, blah, blah. And I remember saying that even just historically speaking, as great as big men can be, they always need someone, a guard on their level to be able to succeed. And James Harden was meant to be that person. And to go from 20 points in the regular season and leading the league in assists to go to where he did, I think was absolutely disgraceful. And now, obviously, I don't want to make the comparison, because obviously, when you talk about Embiid, you talk about Jokic. And I feel like sometimes when you talk about Harden, you talk about Russ. Now, 2 games in the playoffs when the Clippers played the Suns, Russ had 2 games where he shot 3-for-18 or something like that. But you saw the mentality was still there to be aggressive, to go and attack, even though you missed the shots. James Harden seems like he just gets to the rim and just wanted to dash it out to Tucker and hope. Like, he doesn't strike me. And it's crazy to me because after game one, he comes out beating his chest talking about, I already told you guys, it depends on who I'm playing with and what the team need, blah, blah, blah. I know the team didn't need what he gave them yesterday. So I agree. It's like, where do they go from here? I mean, does Lillard want to leave? Could you package something like that? But just before we move on to the next series, because I don't want to spend the whole segment on this, even though we could. Abdus, just last word on it. What do you think the Sixers can do? Because I remember we spoke and you said that this season is at least conference finals or bust. And it looks like it's another failure of the season. So what moves do you think the Sixers can make to progress?
I can't lie, my moves are kind of drastic. If I was the GM, I think I would just blow it up. Like, as I mentioned before, Tobias Harris is on his last year of his deal. We can move him. And I don't think, in terms of like contracts and things like that, everyone can get moved. We moved Ben Simmons for James Harden. Look at Ben Simmons now. We moved Al Horford, who at the time, I know this series, he's looked like the 4-time, 5-time All-Star he was in Atlanta. But we moved Al Horford. Like, we're able to move players. Everyone on this roster has value. So I'll just strip it all down, because when I think about it, we're just like Utah Jazz of the East, because the Jazz, win 50, 51 games in the regular season. Donovan Mitchell's going crazy. Rudy Gobert's looking like the best defensive big ever. Playoff time, it just doesn't happen. It just doesn't happen. It doesn't work for them. So, I'll if it was up to me, we're just restarting this thing all over again. We're running around with Maxi and Paul Reed next year. We're going to be an electric 12th seed. That's just fun, good vibes and things like that. But realistically, I know that can't happen. So realistically, what I think is going to happen is I think James Harden opts out. I think he leaves. Obviously, I think this Houston thing is a whole trying to hold the Sixers to ransom to get the deal that he wants. So I think they try and retool the team around Maxi and Embiid. I think they try to move off the money that Tobias Harris is owed and probably try to get some like 3-and-D wings or whatnot to surround the rebuild with Maxi and Embiid. So I think that's the direction they go. And if that's and obviously, on top of all of that, they're going to fire Doc Rivers, which I'm indifferent to. If he stays, okay. If he goes, okay. Like, I don't care like, at this point because, as I said earlier, I'm not putting majority of the blame on him. But I think, number one, they fired Doc Rivers and, number two, they try and retool the roster around Tyrese Maxey and Joel Embiid. And good luck to them next season, boy, because I'm not going to be as invested as I was these previous years.
Trust the process. That's what I say. Trust the process.
Process is dead, man.
Process is dead, all right. Bro. Moving on to the next series in the Eastern Conference. We went from New York stand up to New York sit down. And I've said it before, yeah. New York needs a superstar because when the Knicks are winning, basketball just seems fun. Like you saw that video those guys did. I keep forgetting the name. Side Talk something. DJ Khaled, you just lost another one. But my thing is, yeah, now, why does Julius Randle just stink so much? I've never watched a player that infuriates me so much because he always looks decent in the regular season and then he turns into a bricklayer. RJ Barrett seems he can make shots from everywhere that's not a three-point line. And then Jason Brunson is the one that seems to be carrying the Knicks. But it's all about the Heat anyways going forward. How impressed have you been with Miami this series? Because I mean, AFC to the conference finals, I think second team to have ever done that. So we'll start with the Jimmy Butler stand, Eric Spoelstra, man. Abbas,
so the first thing I'm going to say this is when we started these pods and we were talking about playoffs, I said that the reason I find the playoffs a bit boring at times is because you don't have the March Madness storyline. And then obviously the Miami Heat came and did what they've done. Let's be real. This is not an eight-seeded team. Like, this is a top four Eastern Conference team to start off with. So on that basis, there's not an element of surprise with how they are performing. Yes, the way they beat the Bucks, fair play to them. They needed it. They deserved respect for that. But for this series, personally, I looked at them and I was like, yo, this is you're getting coached by Eric Spoelstra. For me, top 10 coaching all of sports right now, top three that I've ever watched in terms of basketball. Then you've got a guy like Jimmy Butler who, again, sometimes will put up a 40-piece, sometimes will put up a 20-piece. But the what you get with the Heat is they're able to make key plays at the key times. And if you look at Game 6, that's peak what you see. They had the flagrant foul and it looked like, wait a minute, this is a tight game. Something's going to happen here where New York can come back into it. Then we're going to game 7. And then what happens? They force the Jalen Brunson turnover and the Heat win and they go on and they advance to the finals. And what's been impressive throughout this entire Heat run isn't the fact that how they've gone about winning. It's the fact that they defended home court. Nobody's beating them on home right now. And when you look at what they were able to also do in game ones, correct me if I'm wrong, they stole game one against New York and Milwaukee, I believe they also won game one. Yeah. So they were able to come out and put the team that has home court at a disadvantage straight away. So, yeah, outside of the Lakers, yeah, I'd say they're the most impressive team so far when it comes to the playoffs this year.
Sam?
In terms of what Miami, how impressive they are. Well, look, they beat the Bucks, but there's a little asterisk there. There's things that we take into consideration. And again, with the Eastern Conference, seeding doesn't really mean anything because look, I don't see the Knicks as being a great team. I did pick them to win just because they had home court advantage. But in terms of basketball, it's always about who's got a superstar on their team. So you look at the Knicks, they don't have a superstar on their team. They've got decent players. But like Julius Randle, he's a regular season guy. When it comes to crunch times, I'm not expecting anything special from him. Jalen Brunson, yes, he's had, you know, a great year. But that's an outlier because we saw him as a duo last year. He was a second option. Let's see how he performs next season. People have seen him as a number one option. This is what he does. Let's see if he can perform. RJ Barrett, he's a bit hit and miss. Do you know what I mean?
Very hit and miss.
In terms of a superstar going to the Knicks, I just don't see it for now. Like, obviously, they've got a lot of people in the hierarchy, in high positions, like Worldwide West, Leon Rose, and those guys that people know from behind the scenes. They used to be agents at CAA. And they're trying to get a lot of people, Devin Booker, Lillard. I don't see that happening. The Heat, look, they've done what they had to do. Obviously, we all know Heat culture, Pat Riley. I put Pat Riley, in terms of coaches and his resume, I put him over Phil Jackson because he won rings as a coach, won rings as a player, and has done it as an executive. He's got the whole 360 behind him in it. Like, the Heat Mafia, that's what it is. So they've done what they've done. But obviously, we're going to speak on it later. I think in the Eastern Conference Finals, it's a completely different beast and different story going against those two guys in the backcourt. And then you've got the grind in, you know, Marcus Smart, and they've got Rob Williams, Al Horford, you've got Brogdon come off the bench. A lot of this to discuss. Yeah. So they've done what they've had to do, and it's been a great season for them getting to the Eastern Conference Finals. And similar to what Abbas said, this is why I said the NBA like the play-in, because you're seeing a seventh seed and an eighth seed have an opportunity to get to the finals and then win the title via being in the playoff. Like, that's what they want. Similar to like the NFL, have guys, teams coming through the wild card and actually getting on a run and winning the Super Bowl. So it's a win for the NBA.
So unless Kojo Abbas want anything to say about the Heat, I'm sure going to the predictions for the conference finals.
Yeah, let's go.
Let me just shout out the for the Knicks. I just want to shout out Brunson, man, because when you're talking about a player that plays with heart, that Jalen Brunson springs to mind for me, because especially throughout that series, he dropped 20 in every single game, and in game five he played all 48 minutes. So 40, obviously we're talking about the Sixers. Sorry?
Back to back 40, game five.
Exactly. Yeah. So obviously, like, that's how you go out. You go out swinging, you don't just give up. But yeah, now shout out to Jalen Brunson. Obviously, the Heat, yeah, you can't count them out at all, man.
Yeah, Harden, are you listening? all right, so on to, so obviously, as you know, we've got the conference finals for the third time in 4 years. We've got the Heat versus the Celtics, and as we've said, this is not your typical AFC. So we're just gonna go around, and everyone just, so you, obviously you say who you think is gonna win and how many games and why. Kojo, we'll start with you.
Obviously, I always say this. I want Miami to beat Boston. You know, I don't like Boston Celtics. I hate them. So let's make this very, very clear to everyone watching. I hate the Celtics as always, of course. But if I'm being rational here, the Celtics should win this. Probably. For me, it can go six games. I wouldn't be surprised to go seven. But I think for me, I'm going to go, don't know. Celtics, for me, it's a different ball game coming up against the Knicks. I think the Celtics win this in six. I think the Celtics are going to head back to the NBA Finals. It pains me to say it, but the Celtics will win the Eastern Conference and head back to the NBA Finals, and I do it in six games, in my opinion. The reason why I say this is because they're just a better team. They're deeper. They're defensively better. Offensively, for me, they're probably the best team offensively in the playoffs. When they get going, my God, they can just execute the threes is serious. And they have that star player, which is ascending. You know, maybe next season, 2 years, he could be the best player in the world, and that's Jason Tatum. So that's why, for me, unfortunately, I see the Celtics winning this series in six.
Abbas?
Do you know what? I'll say this. I don't think you touched on the defense. Miami's gritty. Miami is so gritty when it comes to these type of games that I'm not looking at it to say that the Celtics are that better defensively. I don't think these teams personally are that different in terms of the ability as well. Don't get me wrong, Tatum is head and shoulders above everybody else in terms of the superstar element of it. And based off his resume, fair enough, Jaylen Brown's done exactly the same in terms of where they've both gone to collectively. But obviously, Jason Tatum is the main star. I'm going to say this, though. There's one person on that team that, again, I'm just trying to remember. One person I'm trying to say has more championship experience than everybody else. Two, actually. That's Kyle Lowry and Kevin Love. Don't discount championship experience when it comes to these type of places. And Jimmy kind of said it as a joke, but I know there's an element of seriousness when it comes to it. When they said in the press conference, what makes you different from every other 8 seed? And he goes, Kyle Lowry. And they were joking about it, but he's not wrong. He, for me, is going to be that little X factor off the bench that's going to swing the series towards the Miami Heat.
So you're going Heat in how many games?
I think that's biasness, in my opinion, but...
It's not the Heat in seven. Actually, no, give me six, because going seven's it's a stretch to go in Boston, but I say six.
Brave. You know what that reminds me of? That reminds me of, like, Denver and Suns and five. But that's not what we're here for. back to you. Who are you picking for this series? Sam?
Oh, it's me. Look, similar to Kojo, obviously, being a Lakers fan for ages, I've always just disliked Boston, innit? But one thing, the reason why I'm going to pick Boston and why I watch their games, not because I like them, it's because I like Jason Tatum. That's my guy. I've been talking about him for the longest, and him having that Kobe Mamba mentality, and you see how he stepped up, you know, yesterday. We saw Steph Curry. He had the highest points in the Game 7. And then Jason Tatum had a field day and got up to 51 and he was just balling. And I just think, as an overall team, the Celtics have so much more weapons and they can defend. They can be gritty. That's why you got Smart, you got Rob Williams, you got Al Horford, you got experience, yeah? Then you still got the two young guns that can put up a 40-piece each or whatever. They can both just go atomic and just get numbers, innit? And I don't know if Miami can keep up with the scoring if it gets to an end-to-end game, because Miami's a very gritty team. You got Jimmy Buckets that can, in his name, he can get buckets, isn't it? But again, you need other people to help him. I'm a big Bam Adebayo fan, but also now you're going to have someone in the perimeter that can also stop Bam as well. And I just think you just got to go with the team that has the shooters, and that's the Boston Celtics. So I'll probably go Celtics in six. Look, the Heat have got that championship experience, but sometimes it can be overrated, because last season we wasn't saying that about Kyle Lowry, we were saying he's overweight. So, you know, let's not take too much into it. You've got Kevin Love that, you know, hasn't been the same Kevin Love
since. All I'm saying is them touchdown passes are getting more and more accurate the older he gets.
How many times a game can you do that, really? When we're not playing NFL, how many times can you really do that? Do you know what I mean? You might get away with it two or three times in a game, but it's irrelevant. What's he really going to do in the game? He's a liability on defense, and offense, he's hit and miss anyway. So it's not like he's going to contribute so much to the Heat winning or anything like that. But yeah, short and sweet, Celtics in six, man.
Abdus?
I think this is going to be a tough series. It's going to be back and forth, as obviously Abbas and Sam have mentioned, two gritty teams and things like that. But I'll be real, I think I'm done counting out the Miami Heat, man. I'm done counting these guys out, because every time I don't back them, they just go on to achieve greatness every single time. So that being said, I think I've got the Miami Heat in six. I feel like, obviously, the whole Sixers collapse in games, six in game seven, as much as it's well documented, a lot of people forget Jason Tatum started off 0-for-11 in game five and game six. 0-for-11. It wasn't until the fourth quarter in game six where you hit those couple of threes to close out the game. So you're not doing that. You're not doing that in a coach Spoelstra-led team. That's not happening. That can't run. You can't get away with that. And another thing, coaching... Go on, Sam.
No, I said, sorry to interrupt. I said, I hear that, but don't you have to rate Tatum for having that mentality? Shooters keep shooting until, like, because that he could have been like what the Sixers did, had that poor freak first quarters and said, you know what, I'm just calling it a night. But he said, you know what, I've got that mentality to keep going. And I think that's the grit that Miami would show. So having people like that, you already know it's going to be a tough game, because anyone else, they'll be like, shit, I haven't made no shots. I've got 1 point going into the fourth quarter. 1 point. People have said, you know what, it's not my day. But he said, fuck this. I'm going out like Kobe. And if I go out 10 for 45, I still go out, like he said, swinging. Seriously, you don't care. So
I heard that, but what I'm saying is, against the better teams, because Sixers were not serious that game, you don't go 0 for 11 in back-to-back games and get away with it. So I think that if he's to get off to those rocky starts, because I mean, he did not have a great series at all, but in the biggest moments, he stepped up. So if you're going to continue on that trend and begin to struggle throughout these games, I think a team like the Miami Heat will put you to the sword and you'll get punished. And another thing I'll mention as well is the coaching mismatch between Eric Spoelstra and Joe Mazzulla, because Joe Mazzulla, in a couple of those games, I remember in game four, he had two timeouts to his name and he was just watching them play out, play on. And that could have been that Marcus Smart shot. Had it gone in, that's a series changer. We're not going into game seven. So that wealth of experience that Eric Spoelstra has, one of the best coaches in the game, I think that's going to come to show as well. So with that being said, I've got the Heat in six. However, I understand the Celtics, especially in game seven situations, especially with Jason Tatum leading the way. He's 5-1 in game seven. The one loss is against LeBron James as a rookie in the Eastern Conference Finals. So if this gets to game seven, then I think Jason Tatum and them close the deal. But right now, my pick is Heat and six.
What was your pick, Sam? Because my audio kind of was playing around. What was your pick?
Celtics and six.
Celtics
and
six.
So we've got, Richard, now it's time for you.
Yeah, I can't lie, tiebreaker, because we've got 2-2. Obviously, I hear what everyone is saying. You've got the Eric Spoelstra. You said coaching mismatch and whatever. And really and truly, I think lack of regular season success is what holds Jimmy Butler from being a solidified top 10 player in the league. Because when you just talk about the playoffs, I think, not even arguably, I do think he's been the best player in the playoffs so far. Especially when you look at what he's done with the Bucks. And he even came back, like, when they lost game two and he was injured, he was like, all right, you know what? I'll just take whatever painkillers, and he came out and he closed out against the Knicks. With that being said, I think the Celtics are a higher seed for a reason. Abbas said the Miami are on a true eighth seed, and I do agree to that to some extent. I think even if they played their best, they wouldn't have overtaken the Celtics anyways. And I think the amount of confidence they're going to have going into this next series is unmatched. I mean, Tatum is just coming off dropping the most points in a game seven. And I think the team is just all well-rounded. You still got the 1-2 point punch with the Jason Brown and Tatum. You've got Al Horford, who's defender on a high level. And you've also got Williams as well, who's a great rim protector. So I think they've got multiple ways in which they can contain.
And you've got Brogdon as well.
Got Brogdon as well. So I think you've got multiple ways in which you can stop Jimmy Butler, whether it's from the perimeter or it's at the rim. Which, Jason Tatum, I think if he just starts getting going, there isn't much that you can do about him. So I'm going to go with the Celtics in six. So we've got two people going with the Heat and we've got three going with the Celtics. That is the Eastern Conference predictions. We are now going to move over to the West. And I'm going to start with the Suns and Denver series. Now, throughout the first four games, I was saying that this is arguably the highest level of basketball that I've ever seen. When you look at the way Jokic and Murray and KD and Booker were going bucket for bucket, I mean, it was like, it's like everybody was shooting 60% from the field. I think Murray was coming out talking about he doesn't know how many times he has to prove himself. KD and Booker are dropping 30 points after 30 points after 30 points. But it was like, as I said before, there's only so much you can keep this, sustain this shooting form for, like, going all this playing 40 minutes a game. And the Nuggets are the first seed for a reason. Now, I just want to quickly say that there's a reason. Out of all the series, like last year, I must have predicted all of them correctly. Like, so I should have placed a bet or something. But who knows? But we're going to start with the Suns because I feel like they are more of a bigger story here, where when they made the trades, everybody said that they are going to go through this another super team, and they didn't. Now, Sam, I'm going to come to you because I have to debate you on this. How much is KD to blame for the Suns' failures this series?
I don't think it's got enough to do with KD. I think, like you said, you know, trading for KD depleted their team, so they didn't have a whole squad. Like, you see Denver, they've got a solid squad from 1 to 8, 1 to 9, yeah? And it showed, because when the Suns were playing, KD had to play 44 minutes. Devin Booker had to play 44 minutes. And from anyone that's played basketball or has watched basketball for a long time, you playing, you know, that amount of minutes and your jump shooting team, it's not good for your legs. So when it gets to that those crunch games, that's why you were seeing KD miss easy jumpers. You're seeing Booker miss easy jumpers because now they got leggy and the team wasn't, there was just no depth in it. Like, obviously, CP3 went out and then that just put more pressure on KD and Booker handling the ball, which is, yeah, they're good at it, but that's not their primary focus, innit? So it took a lot of options from them. So I don't want to, you know, blame KD because, again, this is the lazy narrative where people start blaming KD and stuff like that. And look, I've always, me and Abbas always have our back and forth, but Abbas has always said something that, you know, when these super teams are put together, you got to go through that trial period, innit? Where you have the trials and tribulations. So you have a team, they come together and everyone, because Golden State did it when KD came and they won the title in the first year, everyone thinks it's like that. It's not. We saw LeBron, he had the meltdown against the Mavs. We've seen other teams do it. We've seen it with Brooklyn. They struggled. So I just think this is the testing period for the Suns. All they got to do is, you know, build a squad, make a few trades. And next season, when they've got a full 82-game season to see how, you know, Booker and KD work together, then we'll see how good they are. And then we can decide whether they're the truth or it's going to be another Brooklyn. Do you know what I mean? So, but for now, there's no problem.
Okay, so the thing is that I would have agreed with you if this was the first time. But then if you look at all the, and I'm talking about the top of the top, like the elite superstars in KD's era. So the four of them are LeBron, Steph, LeBron, Steph, Kawhi, and KD, all four of them. Out of four of them, if you look at their careers, I low-key think KD might be the worst playoff performer of all of them. Simply because, because, I mean, you look at what Kawhi was able to do with Toronto. I mean, you know LeBron's the best. And you see Steph has now won two rings before KD came and after KD came. Now, obviously, people try to put... Oh, I'll let you jump in. But people try to put all of the OKC failures of not reaching the finals again on Russ because they said Russ can't be your primary decision maker. He can't shoot this, that, blah, blah, blah. And everyone gave him grace for it because he's 10 years into his career. He goes to Golden State, which he was on a super team. And I know people like to talk about pressure of being on a super team and blah, blah, blah. But everybody knew fully fit, even if you got LeBron cancelling out KD, Steph Curry is like is still a top three player in the league. So you now got two top three players on one team. And then you've got LeBron and Curry, who at the time could argue isn't even top 10. Then you fast forward to his Brooklyn days, whereas in you have another super team there. And then obviously, fair enough, Curry goes down and you have a hobbled James Harden. But the fact, my thing is, do they have to be fully health super team for KD to get over the line? Because then the next series, where you still have Kyrie, you've got KD who's healthy, you get swept by the Celtics. And then you come into this series, whereas in you're going 3 points with no Kawhi and Paul George, you're going, everything is coming down to the clutch. You can't, because obviously you can argue that you're playing 40 game continuously, it's not good for your legs. But if you've got KD and Book on one side and the other side, there's no Kawhi and Paul George, realistically, you would like to take that team up in three quarters so you can give yourself a rest. And then you come to the other series where, as in game five and six, granted, you might be overmatched because Denver are the better team or whatever, but you don't have to put back-to-back stinkers in closeout game and then you're now down 50-odd points. So my thing is, obviously, KD's an all-time great and he's elite and everything. Like, if you're just looking at his face value and you're comparing him to other superstars, yes, it still looks good, but I'm comparing it to the four elites that in his era of Kawhi, LeBron, Steph, and KD. And I think he's shown out to be the worst playoff performer of all of them.
Let me quickly just go through this. So you got Steph here. Steph is a goat. Chef Curry with the shot, boy. He's in Golden State, yeah, which is they have a system. They have an ethos, a style of play that's built around Steph Curry. Movement, switching, everything. Cool. Yeah, LeBron is just LeBron. He's the GOAT. He knows how to manage games, slow it down, and he's a savant in terms of how he plays the game. So let's take LeBron out. Yeah, people put this narrative about Kawhi. Kawhi is a great talent, but he was drafted by Indiana, then got traded to the Spurs, yeah? The Spurs organization at that time, Coach Pop, top five coach of all time. Then he played with Hall of Famers, yeah? Ginobili, Parker, and Tim Duncan, yeah? Cool. He wasn't asked to do nothing. He got an MVP because he made LeBron get 28 and 5 and 9. Cool. Whatever. But we take into consideration, yes, what he did at Toronto, but in a sense, it's an asterisk because KD got injured. He was playing against a very depleted team at that time. So we know if KD was there, we know if KD was there, he wouldn't have a chip. Yes or no?
He wouldn't have a chip.
Yes, but then.
Yeah, but injuries are part of the game, though.
I do want to say something about that. You're right. KD wasn't there.
So you can't say because he won a chip. But my point is, bro, sorry. My point is that because he won a chip with Toronto, you can't then say, oh, he's had a better career or better playoff.
That injury, that KD injury, No, you're right. If KD was there, Golden State would have
won. When KD played at 9 minutes or 11 minutes and he got his 9 points, Golden State won by 1 point. They won by one point because of the points that he got.
My argument to that, is KD's injury made that series fair. Because everybody knows with KD still there, I mean, that's a super team and they're beating every other team in history. So KD going down makes it fair, whereas in now, it's evil talent on both sides and Kawhi steps up big. And then you look at what happened.
Klay went down, though. In game six, they were winning. Then Klay went down as well. So I'm not saying, Kawhi is not deserving, but we can't use that narrative and say, Kawhi has had a better playoff.
That's just one series. You look at what he did before that. I mean, we just spoke about it earlier. So again, Toronto, when they went through the Philly series, obviously the first series is always a given, and then they go into the conference.
We spent half an hour cussing Philly, so that doesn't really prove anything. We just spent half an hour cussing Philly.
But let's not act like that Philly team. I mean, that Philly team had Ben Simmons, who was still giving. They had like, what's it called? Four players. Butler, Tobias Harris, Embiid, and Simmons. All of them giving you at least near 20 points per game. And then you still got JJ Redick as well, who was a shooter. And you had all these other pieces, which he hit the clutch shot to win that series. And I truly believe behind 2018 LeBron's run, and you've got Dirk's 2011 run, that could be the next best playoff run of all time. KD, and as I said before, is all KD has shown me in his career. Obviously, his numbers will show that he's good, whatever, in the playoffs. But when you talk about KD, you talk about championship the same way as you talk about with Steph and LeBron. And KD hasn't shown me, without the super team of that world oil machine that you said is in Golden State, he can go on and win a championship. There is nothing to show me he can do it. Because as much as people want to slander Russ and whatever, blah, 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 Russ was still a top five player in 2016 and 2015. Whereas in, obviously 2015 had the injury, but 2014 as well. Whereas in, to not be able to go back to the final, and he blew a 3-1 lead of his own. Yeah. So, as I said, if you're looking at it as face value, obviously KD's still top 15 player of all time, but I'm not comparing him to the face value. I'm talking about the elite of the elites. Whereas, in has he done anything to show you he can potentially be a top 10 player of all time? No, and we're just making excuses for
him. Sam, I think it's gonna be fair though. If you take KD's career outside of Golden State Warriors, he hasn't really done much. If I'll be very honest here,
but that's not fair though. You're saying take away a man's two championship rings.
Everyone moves like Golden State didn't need. You're going like Golden State didn't need KD.
No, but he needed Steph and he needed Clay to win. I think it goes hand in hand.
That's what I'm trying to say, vice versa, because if they didn't have KD, LeBron would have two more chips. So my point is, you can't take that. You can't say, outside of that, because they needed him to win. If they didn't have him.
Listen to this. Now you say, you erased that whatever with the whole thing. Steph Curry still has two rings. KD has zero.
That's hypothetical.
You're right, but that's what I said. But there's reason I said
Golden State might have broke up the team. Clay will be somewhere else. So we can't say if, buts, maybe. We can say Steph has one with KD and one without KD. That's what we can say. We can't say...
I think the issue you're having here is you're comparing KD as face value against the rest of the NBA. I'm comparing him once in that. Because if you start comparing him to the Shaqs, to the Larry Birds, to the Kobe's, to the... KD's careers can't touch these guys because he's not been able to win a ring where you say... No, but that's what I'm saying. I'm saying is that...
But you didn't say that. You said out of those four. Now you're moving the goalposts. You're saying...
No, but I'm just saying...
You're saying Shaq and Larry Bird. That's what you're saying.
No, but all of those fours that are playing now, and then if you want to talk about all time, you talk about top 10 and blah, blah. I'm saying, okay, but even if you just look at those fours, I don't understand why all of them, because you saw LeBron where he lost in 2018 and he was playing with players like Kyle Korver, Rodney Hood, Hill, whatever, blah, blah. And people are still slating LeBron for that, saying, how can you get swept, blah, blah, blah. So how can KD, another elite superstar, we keep making excuses after excuses
I don't feel making excuses. I don't know anyone in basketball that puts KD and LeBron James in the same conversation. Like,
people have been saying that KD has been the best player in the league for like 5 years, even though he's never had a better season than Giannis.
Best player in the league don't mean anything because they said that with Kawhi. But in terms of all-time greats, we've got LeBron chasing ghosts. He's chasing MJ. So that's a different stratosphere. Like, that's my whole point. Like, yes, KD can do all this stuff, but really and truly, LeBron's in his own category by himself. Even like Steph is moving to his own little category, but I won't say, Kawhi XYZ. Look, I've been talking a lot. Everyone else is on the pod as well, so I let them have their thoughts in terms of what they think.
Yeah. All right. Oh, you know, we'll come to you, Abbas. So, which side are you on? Do you feel like a lot of excuses is being made for KD's like playoff careers outside? Because I've just said, I feel like we make a lot of excuses for someone that he's only successes with Golden State, which is a super team where he can't lose. What's your take on the situation?
Do you know what? Like, I feel like it is the easy thing to say that it's just been successful because of the super team. But I always say this, like, the Brooklyn experiment, as a collective, they choked that series so badly. As much as Boston won that series, which is a lot of a talking point for Brooklyn, they choked that series so badly. They had so many leads that they should have closed out. So credit to Boston for what they did. But Brooklyn choked that series so much more than they should have. And yeah, you do have to put a bit on Kevin Durant on this. When it comes to this particular series, I'll be honest with you, I knew the series was done when Landry Shamet scored when he was going crazy and scoring threes and allowed when he allowed Phoenix to win that game, I was like, do you know what, this series is ending. And we talk about Philly and the fact that they collapsed the way they did. What happened to the Phoenix Suns in game 6? That's disgusting. Like, I can't, like, I got up, I was like, I'm ready to watch them go competitive. I knew Denver were always going to win this series because they just are a better gel machine. But what happened, the way Kevin Durant and Booker just collectively played in that first half,
choked.
Embarrassing. Yeah, it was a choke job. But I'll say this, Kevin's not had a lot of luck when it comes to being healthy. So I'll say this, his playoff career doesn't, unfortunately, like I said, he's going to have it where he had to go to Golden State to win. And then what unfortunately, where it's against him is the fact that Steph has that ring after him. Forget before, it's the fact that he has it after him. And that's the only thing that has that little mark on Kevin Durant. Like, can he now go somewhere and win it? If he does it with Phoenix, fair enough. But again, I can't. It's Kevin Durant. Like, this guy is as good as he is. Like, but what we've seen is he needs another all-star, and he needs another half a star player to be able to fully function and be able to get it, as well as them being able to stay healthy. And I think, if anything else, forget everything else, I think it's just a worry now of, can Kevin Durant stay healthy? And that's probably the biggest talking point now in terms of the rest of his career, rather than what he can do, what he can't do. Because everyone knows, like, he's an elite player. You said he's a top 15 player potentially, and we hear judging on his playoff resume, etc. But it's now just a case of, for the remainder of his career, how healthy can be. Because we look at Kawhi, like you talked about Kawhi Leonard.
Yeah.
But let's not pretend like this guy wasn't just sitting out because he wanted to sit out, and the San Antonio Spurs had nothing. They couldn't do realistically anything about it, because he was sitting out because he was like, I'm not playing because I don't feel healthy enough, which is fair enough. But he also got away with doing that. And it's just a case of, now we need to see how healthy he can be. But right now, unfortunately, because of the way Game 6 collapsed, it's just not looking good for Kevin and what people will speak about him.
He should want favor. obviously, before we just move on to the Denver quickly, is there anything, Kojo, or I just want to add to the thing?
I just wanted to say, with this whole Kevin Durant discourse, like, did anyone here have them beating the Suns or advancing to, like, the beating the Nuggets and advancing to the conference finals?
So it's more, someone had the Suns on five.
No, I had that for controversial reasons, innit? I'm a big KD fan, so I thought, look, having Booker and KD, you got Monty Williams, they had a decent team. You got CP3 that can be the floor general. I thought they had a chance of winning it. Because, look, we got to just go, like, in the past couple of years, we've seen Denver. Yes, they've been number one seeds, two seeds, three seeds, but no one's ever took them serious. They kind of always fall by the wayside. So I just thought, you know, it's going to be like that this season. But this Denver is very different. So that's why I went with the Suns.
Okay. Because I was always of the mindset of, I thought that the Nuggets would win this series. Because obviously, because of the regular season that they've built, and because of Jokic and how, with help, how he elevates his teammates and how he performs in the postseason. Obviously, a lot of people gave him flack in the last couple of years when he won MVP and he got bounced by the Warriors in five games and whatnot. Yeah. But I feel like on the Phoenix Suns side of things, especially when you talk about Kevin Durant, I feel like the fact that that trade happened mid-season as well. I mean, across like NBA history, I've never seen a team make such a big blockbuster trade of that magnitude and go on to win a championship, because you need time to gel. You need to be able to, especially someone like Kevin Durant as well. I know Durant can play with anyone and he's not one of those selfish players. He's very selfless, but still, you need to be able to gel with your teammates and adapt. And looking at that Suns roster, I mean, you mentioned it earlier, Shamet dropped 19 points and everyone was getting crazy. They had like no depth. So I don't really blame Kevin Durant as such for losing to the Nuggets. Obviously, that Game 6 being blown out like that is unacceptable. But we've seen the Suns get blown out like that at home last year. And KD wasn't there. So I think that's probably my take on the whole sort of things. Yeah. Like, they didn't have time to adjust. And the Nuggets were the better seed. And I feel like the Nuggets were the favourites. So that's my thought on things.
Yeah, just, I'm going to make this quick. I kind of echo what AB was saying. If you're being real, KD did his job. Like, for me, there's a couple of games in this series where he knocked over 30 points. So, for me, I don't feel like, for me, this series knocks his status as a top player performer. This Suns team wasn't that great. Didn't have depth. They lost their will. And that's just the way it was. Denver just a better team. And they had it going this year. And it proved dividends. So, yeah.
No, obviously, I'll just say the last one before we move in. Just to clarify, I've not said KD is a poor player performer. I'm saying compared to the elites of the game, I think like he's been one of the worst ones or less productive ones. But I don't know, we'll see what happens next season when they've got more time to gel. On to Denver, because as I said, very impressive. I mean, you saw the way they took out the Suns with the back-to-back and then obviously the 50 points at halftime and whatnot, or 30 points at halftime and whatnot. Is there a case for Jokic being the best player in the league at the moment?
There could be. But with the thing with the NBA, this is why I like it, but I don't like it, because everyone always fluctuates. Because last season and the season before, Jokic won the MVPs back-to-back. And it was like, oh, he's not that guy because of the playoff. Everyone was screaming Doncic. Doncic is the new heir to the NBA. He's going to be the star. Now, everyone's gone cold off Doncic, and then now they're jumping on Jokic. In terms of just consistency, the last 3 years, yeah, he's been the most consistent player and putting up numbers. And when you watch him, he's magnificent. Because, bro, like, you see how Russell's putting up them triple-doubles, yeah? It was a lot of effort. You see Jokic, game moves in slow motion. He's just doing what he wants. Yeah. You're thinking he's hitting shots off the wrong foot. He's doing mad stuff. And you're thinking, how is this guy that looks out of shape just hitting, doing 31, 15?
A dad bod. He's got a dad bod in the
year. I don't know. In terms of consistency, you would say, yeah, the last 3 years have been the most consistent. If you were to have a team, could he be your number one option? He could be, but I still think you need that wing player or the backcourt player that can just make those big time shots. I'm not saying Jokic can't, but you need to have that duo of a big man and a guard. So
you don't think Murray can be that guy?
I think Murray is that
guy. You know what I'm trying to say? that's what I'm saying. In terms of when you have a team, I'm saying like Jokic has been consistent for the 3 years. But if I was building a team, I couldn't just have Jokic and then have just other guys around him. You would need to have that Jamal Murray to complement what he does. Just having that sharpshooter able to get to the rim and just be a bit more aggressive. Because like I said, Jokic moves in his own time, very slow. And when it comes to these crunch times, you need a bit of that little jittery stuff where Jamal Murray can take the ball.
I think he's spot on because if you look at it, last year they were about Jamal Murray and I think they were about Michael Porter Jr. as well.
Austin Rivers and Ponzo. That's what they wanted him to
do. But they were about Jamal Murray last year, right? And he got knocked out in the first round. If you look at the season before, Jamal Murray was injured because of the ACL. They got knocked out in the second round to the Suns. And the previous season before that, 2020 bubble season, they had Jamal Murray and he had a great playoff run, obviously knocking out Utah in seven, coming up 3-1 down. So was the Clippers. And they got to the conference final face the Lakers. This year, you're seeing the same pattern. You're seeing Jamal Murray, who's stepped up in games, made some huge buckets, had great games, and he also had a good contribution from other pieces, such as Aaron Gordon, KCP, which is having a great playoffs as well, and I'm happy for him. So I feel like what Sam said is true. Jokic has done his thing where he's been consistent, but the reason why the other years where Denver haven't been that great or haven't really achieved the expectations is that they haven't had the pieces to really fulfill, you know, Jokic's greatness. And now you're seeing that this year with a healthy Murray, a good Michael Porter Jr., and a good core of players around him, KCP, Aaron Gordon, and so on, so on. So I feel like, for me, I think Sam is spot on. I feel like you need extra contribution to help Jokic for me to be that player to kind of get the Nuggets to where they are right now. So, yeah.
Do you know what? I'll just quickly say on like the debate of the best player. I think he is right now. But so like if you look at the NFL, for example, you can have a quarterback who has a great season, but you know that Patrick Mahomes is that guy. He's the number one guy consistently, no matter even if there's a down year. When you look at the NBA, LeBron was that guy. Whereas now there's a collection of superstars where it can fluctuate. You can have Giannis have 1 year, Jokic the other, Embiid another, Steph another, Kawhi when he's healthy, Kevin Durant, etc. So they all collectively, there's a range of superstars in the NBA that allows that fluctuation. What I'll say with Jokic is this year is there's a bit more eyes on him because he didn't win that MVP and it was a lot more closer this year. Whereas I think the last 2 years, there's been a bit more of a runaway type of thing. You knew that Jokic was winning it. And I was like, okay, cool. Denver in one side. And it doesn't matter. Whereas now it's like, Jokic is doing this. And he didn't win the MVP. The eyes are on him a little bit more. And he's playing with a bit more of a chip on his shoulder. But yeah, collectively as well, like you guys said, Jamal Murray, that's my guy. I like Jamal Murray anyway. And he's a great complementary piece to this Denver team as well as the rest of the team. But also, I just think they're just coming in their own. Like, they are coming out and showing that, look, we're the number one seed. We went from the start to the season. I know Utah were number one to a point as well, but they were fighting for that number one seed. And they're showcasing it. Like, look, we're not just the number one seed because we're just a great regular season team. We have come into our own. It's taken us a few years, but we're here and we're ready to show out. And they are doing it right now.
There was something you said that is funny because you said obviously there's a collection of people that could actually fight for the best. And it's because I remember I was speaking to one of my friends over there and I was saying that back like 2-3 years ago, off the top of my head, every single time I could list my top 10 in the league and in order. But now it just seems more difficult. But I don't know. I think Jokic definitely has a case. I mean, I feel like I'm going to give Giannis the benefit of the doubt and still keep him as number one, Steph number two, and Jokic number three. But if he goes on and he wins the series and then he goes on and wins the championship, then there isn't much you can say, especially when you've been top three in the MVP race, winning two of them, and then you've gone on to win a chip. But moving on to the other side of the series, Lakeshore, we here. Obviously, what's it called? We sent the sleeping man Steph Curry home in 6 games, and this has been one of the, I won't even call it weird, but it's a bit strange of LeBron's playoff run so far, because obviously they start the season 2-10. LeBron is going on some crazy run, chasing Kareem. He gets it, he injures his foot, and he hasn't been the same. And I think if you look at, obviously, if you just take away the 2021 one when him and AD got injured, I think numbers-wise and performance-wise, there isn't that many you can't really say this has been an elite LeBron playoff run, but it seems like they seem to get a lot of help from the role players. And AD defensively, I think he could be the best defender in the league at the moment. The way he can guard the perimeter, he guards the pick and the roll, and then he rim protects at a high level. I think he's showing to be the... I think he's been the Lakers' best player this series when you factor in his defense as well. And then obviously you look at Austin Reeves coming into his own. And you know what's funny? Everybody always talks about how since the Lakers made a trade, they've been on this good run or whatever. But if you look at the players that have been stepping up from them, only D'Lo has really kept his place from the ones that got traded. Like Van Duy plays like, what, 10 minutes a game? Then he doesn't see the floor again. Mobamba isn't even playing. Beasley, he's a disgrace. I don't want to see him back here next season. And who else did they trade for as well? Hachimura as well, but he plays...
Ruiz, all right. Ruiz had some games.
He can come back. But obviously, the biggest... You're allowing grace. But obviously, I think the biggest talking point has been Golden State losing in the conference semi, because this has been the first time since 2015 that they've made a... Since they've been there, Steve Kerr's era to reach the finals. Is this the end of the dynasty for Golden State? I will let the Golden Laker go first.
I wasn't expecting that.
Come on, this is not the first time we've said that. Today, brother. You know what it is? I don't think the run's over. They're just a little bit of tweaks. And you got, look, everyone has to take into consideration this season, the way the Warriors played, they hadn't played well. They didn't play like a playoff team. And you had the altercation before the season with Draymond and Jordan Poole. So that's something you have to deal with, isn't it? And Clay wasn't consistent. Wiggins had his issue with his family issues. And I just think, I had this discussion in the group chat with Richard. I just think like the Golden State gave this series away because they had opportunities to win. And like we saw Jordan Poole in the last four games, he had more fouls than shots made, like deep it. It says a lot that there was something that wasn't going on in that team. And I just think they just need to make a few moves. Like, look, Clay come back, take a little pay cut. And then they need to figure out what they're doing with Kuminga and Moody. Are these guys, do they think these guys can take the next step, or do they need to trade them and get some other players in? Because Kuminga's got a lot of potential, Moody's got a lot of potential, but when you're in a team where it's championship or bust, you can't bring in youngsters and, you know, they're missing defensive assignments, they're not reading the plays and their liabilities. So this is what Golden State need to kind of look for. It's a little step back, but I see them come back. That game six, yeah, I saw Klay missing open threes. How can you have Klay? LeBron comes out to what's it called, run to the defense. He leaves play open and runs to Steph Curry. When do you ever see that?
I couldn't believe that.
They're moving like he's Russ, like he's bricking shots. And
whoa there, buddy.
No, bro,
let's focus on the topic at hand.
Percentiles for 3-point shooting is poor. But that's my whole point. It just showed you that it was an off series, innit? Like, to lose game one. Look, don't get me wrong. Jordan Poole can make those shots. But he had enough time to take at least two dribbles, then hit the three, tie it. Could have been a whole different game. Like, he shot the 3-point from near half court with, what, 15 seconds on the shot clock? There was no need for that. So, it was just a little adjustments that they needed. Look, I love the Lakers. I love the Golden State. So congratulations to the Lakers for getting to the Western Conference. Hopefully it can do it. But yeah, long story short, it's not the end for the Golden State. They're a great organization.
Yeah.
Great GM, Bob Myers. Great coach in Steve Kerr. Great assistants and a great team of players. The one thing I'm starting to not like is that competitiveness from Draymond in terms of how he's loving off LeBron. I don't like it. It's too pally-pally, man. I wouldn't be surprised if they were to trade someone, they trade Draymond to the Lakers. Like, he's with Rich Paul. Rich Paul runs the Lakers. As we know, he's basically the GM. I can see him going there.
I mean, I don't know, because is the championship window closed? I think, as we were talking about earlier, and we said that Steph Curry is going towards some GOAT level. I don't know what GOAT stage it is. It might just be just a shooting, because I know it's not of the NBA, but he's going into a stratosphere of his own or whatever in terms of being an elite player. So if you've got Steph Curry on your team, there's always a chance. But with this core of the core of Steph, Klay, and Draymond, I think unless you trade one of them, I think it might be over, because as you said, the way LeBron is running from Klay is something like it's never seen before. I mean, people keep talking about this game six Klay or playoff Klay, whatever they want to call it. We just didn't see that as a series. In fact, it was so bad. Klay Thompson is a top five shooter of all time. I was never so happy to see him shoot the ball in my life. I was thinking, you know what? Keep shooting. Like, we need more shots from you, Klay. This is a top five shooter of all time. Paul, I think one of my friends always says it. Jordan Poole in the fourth quarter, you can expect two slips and two turnovers from him. And then, as you see, like, because he just feels like he just does too much. It's like he has an idea of the moves he wants to do in his head, and his body just can't pull it off.
Unfortunately, he's all over the place. He's doing a madness.
Yeah, it's as the whole Kuminga situation, whereas in people was talking about he's more than just 3-and-D and whatever, and then he's unplayable for whatever reason. Maybe that's a Steve Kerr's error on his part, and you can see he's looking to get traded. Gary Payton didn't seem to have that same effect. So I do think, obviously, when you've got Steph Curry, there's always a chance of some sort. But in terms of this core, I don't know if Klay can reach back to the championship level he was performing at. And, I mean, Draymond still got a bit of fight left in him. You can see he had two very good games, but he's not the same Draymond of old. So I don't know. Hopefully I'm right and it's over. But agenda set, I do feel like it stops here. Kojo, you can go.
I feel like if they're going to keep this dynasty alive, I think they'll need to make some changes. Klay, I agree. I don't think he's that same guy no more. Defensively, we know he's not the player that he was before the Achilles and ACL injury. But offensively, I feel like what we see in this player front, he's been so streaky. Which I don't know if he's going to be able to kind of attain that level that he had prior to last season. Jordan Poole, again, he's still young. He's like 22, 23, so I still have high hopes for him. But he needs to have a long offseason and, you know, just kind of pattern his game up and, you know, just be more consistent. Because for me, he's going to be a big piece if the Warriors are going to ever be competing for a title. Wiggins as well, I think. Wiggins, yeah, he had a decent series, and I think he's a good player. And I think he's a good, like, you know, role player for this. Not role player, but I feel like he can be a good third piece for this team. This season obviously hasn't been it for him. Obviously, he had some issues, you know, family issues with his dad and whatnot. So I think that kind of eventually led to his season kind of being a bit, you know, a bit up and down. But I feel like if he gets to a bit more of a consistent run next season and things are a bit more, you know, of norm, then I think for me, we're going to see a Wiggins like we saw last season, and we can see him, you know, potentially being a much more contributor for this Warriors team. Steph, for me, is still playing at elite level. But again, for me, if they're going to be that team again, they need better. They need more role players. Because for me, you got to get through the regular season. He's 35. You know, he had three injuries this season where he missed, I think, a good 10-plus games. You know, you need to get through the regular season if he's going to be able to be fresh and still be that guy come the postseason. So for me, if the Warriors are going to still kind of have chance aspirations, they need to change the roster. Whether, you know, Draymond's going to pick up the play option, whether Klay is going to pick up, you know, that play option to maybe decrease his salary. Change needs to be made. And again, who knows if Bob Myers is going to stay as a GM? These are all questions for the offseason. So if the Warriors are going to kind of, you know, be competitive, I think they need to make a lot of changes. But it's still there. I don't think it's completely done, because you still got Steph Curry playing at elite level. You still got the likes of Kuminga, Jordan Poole, which for me, I know he can go up. Yeah. Andrew Wiggins for me is a good player. So I don't think it's completely done. It's not like, oh, it can't happen. It's like next season we can't see the Warriors competing for an NBA title. I just feel like for me, they'll need to make a number of changes if they're going to be competing like they did last season and what we've seen them do for the past decade. So that's where I stand with the Warriors.
No, fair enough. And just before we give the predictions for the series, let's just talk a bit about the Lakers. Did obviously being the seventh seed and whatnot. And obviously, they made the trades and they're going this run or whatever. But at the end of the day, they were still a seventh seed. Did Did we see this coming from them? Whereas in LeBron could play the way he's, not that he's been good, but he hasn't been great. Did we see LeBron could still play the way he's playing now and the Lakers still go as far as they have, or is this just standard?
You don't take this, AB? You want me to?
What was that? Lakers being the seventh seed, and if we saw this coming?
Yeah.
I think when we're judging like the Lakers season, we have to judge it in like two halves. Obviously, the pre-trades and post-trades. Obviously, post-trades, you've seen how they've been better defensively and how they've improved and how the roster just gels and fits and makes a lot more sense. So I always thought that I backed them to win this series personally. I'm always of the belief that the Lakers go as far as Anthony Davis goes. So obviously we know in the previous series he had a very fluctuating series up and down in terms of his offensive output. I think defensively he's been, as you mentioned earlier, one of the best defensive players in the league. So yeah, they go as far as AD takes them because we know what we're getting from LeBron. And I mean, every night you don't know what you're getting from your role players. I mean, you've got depth now. Lonnie Walker can drop 15 in a fourth quarter and look like MJ or whatnot from taking tough mid-range jumpers off the dribble. So And obviously Hachimura can chip in, and yeah, they got guys that they got roster that makes sense now. And obviously Darvin Ham's done a great job as well. So in terms of them progressing and getting through to the finals, I think LeBron James has got through Steph Curry. Personally, in my opinion, I don't think no one else is getting in his way in the Western Conference anyway from getting to another NBA final. So that's just my opinion. I know we're going to come on to predictions shortly, but in terms of assessing the Lakers season, I think from this roster that they've added, D'Lo and Vanderbilt and guys like that, I think it's a great move. And you've got to shout out Rob Pelinka, man, for getting it done, because I know he's received a lot of heat over the past couple seasons from Laker Nation. But yeah, big up him and big up the Lakers for going on this run.
So this is what I'm going to say to this. So it's all about health. Like when LeBron and AD are on the court, you've got a guy in LeBron who has the best basketball brain, mind, whatever you want to say, right now in the league. Then on top of you got AD, who is probably now finally acknowledging the fact that he's the number one guy on the team, or he has to play as the number one guy. And once both of them two are on the court, healthy, playing, it's like the Miami Heat 2.0 to a point. That's not a seven-seeded team. Like if they're fully healthy, they're going to break in the top three. And I'm going to allude to it again, home court and the way they've gone about this playoffs. Again, you guys correct me if I'm wrong. First series against Memphis took game one. Already they've taken the advantage that the highest seed has. Second series, take game one, taking that advantage away, defending home court. And then when they were playing against the Warriors, again, we know what the Warriors have been in the regular season on the road. They've been horrible. Like we can say they can flick a switch, but it's not as easy as what people seem to be. And then to take home court in the playoffs where the crowds are just that little bit turned up, the pressure's turned just a little bit because you're playing on the back foot, is special. And you have to say that when both are healthy, again, there's not a duo in basketball right now that's better than them personally when both are healthy. And then factor in just what Miami have been able to do. Go on the road, be the underdog, take game one, be able to hold home court and you win a series. And that's kind of been the mantra of the Lakers. And we'll go into predictions, but yeah, it just breaks down to me the fact that both guys can stay healthy. As long as they can do, there shouldn't really be issues personally for me.
Just one quick thing, guys, but going back to like saying about the Lakers not really being a seventh seed, but do you think being a seventh seed helped them? Because where they was in the seedings was the easier side, because if they was a fourth seed, they would have to gone through the Clippers and then would have to gone through Denver. So being that seventh seed and going through the play-in kind of benefited them in the first place.
I mean, yes, you can argue that to an extent, but at the same time, they went through Memphis, who was the second seed. And if you look at, obviously, it's not the all in the being, but when you look at the betting favorites or whatever, Memphis were the favorites and then Golden State were the favorites. And I think especially the Golden State one, a lot of people are talking about how you're going to beat Steph Curry and this and that and whatever, blah, blah. So although you can argue it was the easiest side of the bracket, at the same time, a lot of people weren't giving them the credit to say they would be going.
Even look, me, I said it was going to go seven. I didn't really pick who would win, but even Golden State being a six seed, they was really, remember, Steve Kerr even said this, most of the year they wasn't even in playoff contention in the first place. So it just showed you that, okay, cool, there was a six seed, but they wasn't really a great playoff team. Like, you go from winning the championship to having one of the best records at home, but then on the road, like eight and whatever the number was, it was stupid. So that's what I'm just trying to say, that if the Lakers was a bit higher, it could have been tougher, because as much as the Clippers didn't have Kawhi and Paul George, they're coached by a great coach, and they was able to look. We saw what they did with Phoenix. Do you know what I mean? So if that was the Lakers, it could have been a completely different story. So, you know, being the seventh seed kind of helped them, to be honest.
We'll see, because as you mentioned, they would have had to go through the Nuggets if they're on the other side, but they will be facing the Nuggets. So prediction time. As you know, as we did for the East, the team you think going to win in how many games, and just a brief explanation to why.
Do you know what? It's bubble basketball all over again. The best basketball that was played, according to a lot of people at that point. I've got to stick with the Lakers. The battle is the battle. AD versus Jokic. And then on top of that, I want to see how AD defends against these guys as well. If he can stop Jokic, the Lakers have enough personally for me to win. I don't think he's going to stop him from putting up, let's say, 30 a night, for example. But how impactful is that 30 going to be is probably going to be the bigger question, because everyone can put up 30, but it's just a case of what them points actually mean in the context of the game. But I've got to stick with the Lakers. I'm going to say six because, no, do you know what? Oh, I don't want to say it. A bit of me says five.
Oh!
A bit of me says Lakers in five in this one, yeah.
Damn, gentlemen sweep.
Let me do a sound. Let me be a bit controversial, as he likes to say. And I say Lakers in five. Funny.
And if that doesn't even happen, I can't even clown him for it, because then I'll be hurt by the elimination. But you know what? that's a big one. I'm just a shell shocked by that prediction. I'll let you go next.
As I mentioned earlier, I mean, the fact that LeBron was able to get through that, well, the Lakers and LeBron was able to get through that emotional series against the Warriors and Steph Curry, I don't think anything's going to stand in his way. I think I got the Lakers winning this in six. What's interesting, obviously, Abbas was alluding to it, is how AD is defensively in this series. I want to, matchup wise, is interesting to me as well. I want to know if Vanderbilt's going to be in the starting five, because I know in that game six, he started, what was it, D'Lo, Schroeder, and Reeves?
Yeah.
And then AD and Bron. So personally, I don't know if Darvin Ham will do something like put Jared Vanderbilt on Jokic and then have AD as like the Roma to play just around Jokic to obviously be aware of those backdoor cuts and things like that that the Nuggets like to execute. So I think that could be an effective strategy if he wants to put Vanderbilt back in the starting five. But yeah, I just think that as much as Jokic has been impressive and phenomenal this playoff series, I just think LeBron and the Lakers and them, they're going to want it too much, and the disparity in quality is going to show. And but I do think that this will be a battle. I'll be shocked if it ends in anything other than six games. I feel like even me saying Lakers in six is a bit too harsh on the Nuggets, but I've got to back LeBron James and Anthony Davis to get it done. So I'm going with Lakers in six.
Cordial?
Yeah, of course, there's a bit of bias as well because I'm a big Lakers fan. But I genuinely do believe we can actually beat them. And this is me being rational here. So, she's... You know what, yeah? Originally, I think it was seven, but I don't know if we would actually win in the game in Denver, because they have a very good home record as well. That's a very hostile place, the Ball Arena. I think six will be more fitting because we have a very good home record. I think at, you know, Crypto.com Arena, our fans have been amazing. It's been a great turnout there. So I'm gonna go Lakers in six. We're playing for history here. Let's be very real. We're playing for an 18th banner. So yeah, I think we're gonna do it. I think it'll be Lakers in six. We're gonna be in NBA Finals.
Sam?
You know me. I've always been a Laker fan. I'm a LeBron stan. And I want Bron to get that fifth chip in it. Yeah. So with my heart, I'm saying the Lakers, I want them to win. But we got to give credit to Denver in terms of what they've done this season. And, you know, people always say this. I've never been to Denver, but they say they play in high altitude, innit? And it's difficult to go and beat them on the road. So LeBron being 38 with all these minutes, do I see him being able to take a game? I do see it, but it's going to be difficult because you've got LeBron, you've got AD, you've got Murray, you've got Jokic, but then you've got the other ancillary role players, Michael Porter Jr., Bruce Brown, KCP. They've got a team. And with the Lakers, we have to hope that D'Lo steps up. We hope that AR-15 steps up. You know what's so funny? When I see Austin Reeves, yeah, I think LeBron makes everyone get paid, but it just reminds me of Linsanity, innit? I don't know how far AR's gonna go in it, but that's neither here nor there. So my heart is saying the Lakers, and I want Bron to get that fifth chip, but something's just saying Denver just seem like they've got everything in it. But to be on the safe side, let me just say the Lakers in six. But I've put it out there, Denver might win the case.
That's what everyone's saying, the Lakers. Are we going for the Lakers sweep? Unfortunately, not. Because as much as it pains me to say, I do believe I've got to put my gender aside and be fair. I just feel like, because obviously we're not going to say a team is deep because obviously it's the conference semi, so a team is only going to go like seven deep. And then you look, go like Jokic, Porter Jr., Gordon, KCP, who's playing phenomenal. You've got, and off the bench is Bruce Brown as well. I just feel like they played too well in regular season and the playoff to let it slip now. And I feel like Jokic is going to be able to do what he does. And although I feel like AD has been the best defensive player in this series, I do feel like AD will have like one or two games where it will be like, you know, when they say all day or all disappointing, he will have two games where he'll be all disappointed. I don't feel like there's going to be a game that Jokic doesn't perform. Now, obviously, AD's defense is the equalizer, but then Jokic isn't the typical center where obviously he can do it, but he's not just banging low in the post and whatever. He has a premise in the game where he can hurt you from the outside as well. And if you're taking AD away from the rim, that is problems because the Lakers just don't have anyone else who could help you for the rim. So it's going to be, you're going to ask for much more from AD defensively. And we'll see how that impacts his offense. And with LeBron as well, you know, he's 38. He has an injury. He still needs to get sorted in the offseason as well. So how much can he do a carry job? Who knows? I hope I'm wrong and I'll be gladly happy to be wrong. But you know what? I've got to put my dignity and I've got to put agenda aside. And I do think Denver will win this in seven games. So, yeah, I mean, this took longer than I expected, but I'm glad it did because we had the arguments with the Sixers and then obviously the KD stuff. But that is all we do have time for today. Obviously, Sam's, Kojo and the Basta regulars, you know what their socials are. It's going to be in the link. Abdus, do you want to shout out or promote anything for the people that are going to be listening or are listening?
So sports media page, Clutch New Media on all socials, Instagram, Twitter, and also on TikTok. So yeah, cover a wide range of sports, football, basketball, NFL. So yeah, keep posted and stay locked in.
And although I'm the regular, I will promote my stuff as well. Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, and YouTube, @outbounds_UK. Especially check me on TikTok. I post daily sports content there, so I'll keep you up to date with all that stuff. But no, really grateful for you guys coming on. Really insightful episode. And we'll be back again after the conference finals to do the debrief again. But until next time, thank you for tuning in and safe.